Welcome to Ask the Security Guy. I'm Holly Magnuson here with Sean Corman.
Hey there.
Hey, so some tidbits of information for you, Sean. This is episode number 56. And if we were counting seasons, this is our sixth season
Wow.
and our seventh episode of the sixth season. So we've been doing this for a while.
Okay, yeah, we've got some mileage on us there.
So a couple of reminders for everyone. There is a chat window, and it should be over to the right. By default, Google does it top chat. You want to click on the little three dots next to that and change it to live chat. That way you see everything. Also, if you haven't, subscribe to our channel. That way, and you could click the little bell and get a notification every time we go live. You can also like. If you enjoy what you hear from us, you can hit the like button, and that also helps us. We appreciate that. Today's topic is near and dear to all of our hearts right now, and that is COVID-19 and the impact that it's having on us as a society in relationship to security and cybersecurity. So, Sean, what do you want to say first?
Well, I want to, I realize that this has been a very disruptive season for a lot of people, especially the APU community, as our faculty, our students, and our staff all transitioned into remote work and remote teaching and learning paradigms rather suddenly to really to ensure, health and safety. And it was a move that was strongly supported by IMT and by the security office, and I was just amazed at the dedication of our faculty and our staff and our students, who are really providing good feedback and critiques and help and in many cases support from our student workers. So, interestingly enough, when we dived into this whole thing a few weeks ago, we automatically saw at the same time a huge increase in uptick in phishing scams. These are emails that are sent with either a link or an attachment, trying to fool you into going somewhere and offering up your username and password, usually, or credit card information or something else. Before COVID, we had a track record of almost 2 years. I think that's right, Holly, isn't it?
Yes. Sorry, I was going to type something. Yes. Almost 2 years without an active account being compromised. We did
Right.
have one former student who wasn't using the account. It was compromised, but none of our active faculty, staff, or students had compromised in almost 2 years.
So that's pretty amazing by itself. And it speaks to the diligence and just the overall awareness of the APU community, and just, that's an amazing track record. 7 years ago, when Holly and I started our security awareness training and the different programs that we've kicked off over the years, we were seeing several hundred a month. So to go for almost 2 years with nothing, that's a huge testament to the APU community and the work that they've been doing and the attention they've been paying to security. So, that's just a huge compliment from me and Holly and the rest of the IMT team. Well done. That said, when the disruptive nature of COVID hit and this really radical transformation in how we work hit, we did have some things fall through the cracks. And I think we saw, what, at most about 20, 22 compromised accounts shortly after we transitioned. So it's not a huge number. And again, that's a testament to your work. But it was still impactful. And the hackers, the bad guys, they took advantage of the situation, as they are known to do. So we had that short little rash. We worked with our users and to correct it, and we started out the scam alert emails, sending those out to APU everyone and to our student body as well. Interestingly enough, there were second and third waves of these phishing attacks, and the numbers changed dramatically. We went from having a double digit number of compromised accounts to barely registering. It was single digits. But we saw a huge uptick in phishing emails being reported to the support center and to ISO at APU.edu, both. So spam at APU.edu and ISO at APU.edu, where we encourage people to send these emails if they're suspicious or they just want them checked out. And we guarantee that, either someone from the support center or Holly or even myself will look at these emails and get back to you and verify, is this real or is this something fake? So the numbers were in the hundreds of reports that we got, and we were thrilled, absolutely thrilled to see those coming in, because that meant people were paying very close attention. They were looking at these emails. They had a good sense of skepticism and kind of a suspicious nature, which I strongly encourage. And we're checking things out and being diligent. And that really helped protect APU when a lot of other organizations were getting hit much harder than we were. So again, it's really a testament to your diligence and to the work that you've been doing and to the attention that you've been paying to not fall prey to these things. So I just wanted to take some time to highlight some of those statistics. I think we went from 22 to 9 to 3 was the statistics for the three waves. And the reports, during the first wave, we were seeing a few hundred reports, but in the second and third waves, it was incredible. It was just incredible, the number of reports we were receiving. And that helped us really add filters and do some things to block those kinds of emails from coming in. We also introduced the external email tag as a way to help identify specific types of phishing emails that were very prevalent at the time. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from our community that says it's helpful. We've gotten some feedback, in other veins as well, but the vast majority of the feedback has been supportive of it. And so we're going to keep it for now, and we'll continue to evaluate its usefulness.
Yeah, that definitely, raises the phishing that we had a lot in the fall, where it appeared to be from a dean or an associate dean, where they'd actually taken created a Gmail account, but started it with like hmagnuson.apu.edu@gmail.com.
Right. That was the best one.
Yeah. And this external tag immediately flags you that, wait, this may not be from my dean and hopefully gets you looking at that from address, because that's where they're getting.
So I had someone raise it to my attention. They said, well, when it's from someone internal, it doesn't have the external tag. And that's correct. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody does get compromised, they've clicked on a link, and their account gets owned. Now the bad guy is sending out those messages from an APU account. Those we can't catch with the external tag. But it is catching the initial emails, which is that entry point.
Yeah.
For some it's a little convenient, but I've heard mostly positive feedback, especially from those who use filtering and tagging a lot. It has made it tremendously easier for them to modify their filters. So that's been an unexpected bit of feedback that we got. But I was very happy to see people making use of the tools within Gmail. So that's how it relates to APU. Worldwide, we saw huge increases in targeted phishing, known as spear phishing. The same kind of emails that we were getting at APU were hitting institutions worldwide. What we're also seeing right now is huge ransomware attacks against hospitals and medical research facilities. Anybody that is working actively to deal with COVID or just to do research into vaccines or to do other kinds of research against this and other variants of it, they're being targeted very strategically by bad guys right now, because they know these are people who are more than willing to pay the money or pay the ransom if they get compromised. Yep. It's a sad fact. there was some chatter on the black, on the underground, the black web or dark web or whatever you want to call it. And it was interesting. There were a number of black hats out there that were asking, well, how do I monetize this crisis? And how do I take advantage of the pandemic? And surprisingly, there were a number of other black hats out there saying, why on earth would you? So I don't want to, you know, give false hope that these guys have a heart. Generally, they don't. And the vast majority do not, because the vast majority are out there leveraging these tools and trying to exploit this crisis. But it was interesting to see humanity showing up in some of the oddest places. So another thing that we've seen a dramatic uptick in is COVID-19 related malware. This is stuff that can compromise your computer, can install keyloggers that would transmit everything you type to somebody else. Some of it will activate your webcam and microphone on your computer. Some of it is targeted towards smartphones, both Apple and Android. And it's loaded, some of it are loaded through attachments, Word documents or corrupted PDFs. Others are through websites doing drive-by downloads. If you have an older web browser or an older device that is no longer capable of receiving updates, those can be vulnerable to these kinds of attacks. And then Internet of Things, of all things, we saw a huge increase in attacks on those. And those are, you know, your smart refrigerator, your smart toaster, your washer, your dryer, different devices around the house that require specifically the UPnP protocol, which stands for Universal Plug and Play. We'll do another episode specifically on Universal Plug and Play and how to turn it off on your router. But what Universal Plug and Play does is it allows a device on your home network to open holes in your home firewall, the wireless router you have, to allow it to communicate correctly with its manufacturer or the website where it stores its data. The downside of that is these devices typically don't have great or any security, so they're easily compromised and easily found. And at that point, then they become gateways into your home network. So that's something to think about. If anybody has specific questions on UPnP and or Universal Plug and Play and how to disable it, please contact us at iso@apu.edu. I'd be happy to send you some instructions on that. And like I said, we'll do another webcast more specifically around that topic. But it's one that came out during all of this. Another big thing that popped up during the beginning of COVID-19, when everybody transitioned and everybody but non-essential workers were sent home, there were a lot of physical businesses that were no longer occupied on a regular basis. So for a brief amount of time, it's calming down now, but we saw a huge uptick in physical theft and vandalism. That happened. Another thing that we saw was massive disinformation campaigns, and not just from the usual sources. These were nation states that were hiring hackers to flood social media with all kinds of fake news and fake cures and fake news about COVID and fake statistics websites. And the goals varied. Some of them were simply disinformation. Others were loaded with malware to try to take over your computer to see what they could access. So there was an unusually high incidence of that as well. And that's why we caution people so strongly, go to known sources for information about COVID and any statistics or related information. There's a lot of fake sites out there with a lot of fake information. And this relates to medical supplies, masks, cleaning supplies, all kinds of things are impacted by this type of disinformation. So make sure you're using recognized sources. APU.edu has a great site on COVID and related resources. Johns Hopkins has done a fantastic job. The CDC and the WHO are also actively maintaining information and resources for people. So use official sources for your information. So Holly, I think that brings us back to some good practices.
Yes, I was just grabbing for the chat room the APU URL for our COVID resources. So sorry. Oh, yeah. Couldn't do quite as many things at the same time as I used to. Yeah. What is the number one thing that myself as just an average user can do to protect my information and protect myself?
So the first thing is pay attention to the emails and text messages you're getting. Mm-hmm. Do you know who they're from? You know, click on the from. Is it actually from that person? Is it in the language and the style of speaking that you would expect from this person? Is it a message you're expecting? I've seen a huge number of Facebook accounts compromised just in the last few weeks, where all of a sudden people are posting, hey, look at this new resource. Well, that person never says stuff like that. Okay, and so you get suspicious. Contact them in another medium. You know, if you see them on social media, give them a phone call. Hey, did you post this? Or hey, did you just send me an email? And you might be surprised with the response you get. Make sure you're using good password practices. You're not reusing passwords. You're not using the same password on multiple sites. You're using a password manager to keep your sanity and your security, because maintaining good password hygiene is not easy, and you wind up with different passwords for hundreds of different things. That's, I don't know, at least at my age, that's not really possible anymore. So I rely on a password manager. What's the single most important account people can protect, Holly?
Their personal email account.
Exactly. All of your password resets, your forgot passwords, all go to your personal email account for your bills, your credit cards, everything. Make sure that has a unique password. Make sure that you protect it like it is the keys to the kingdom, because in many ways it is. Mm-hmm. Another thing, with your bank account, with your personal email accounts, with your utilities, anything that supports a multi-factor authentication, turn it on. Follow the steps. Some of them are text-based, some require a code. Whatever it is, follow the instructions and use it. APU is in the process of rolling out MFA right now to a group, you know, a stage group of users. And we've been encouraging you, wherever possible, use this, because it really puts a stumbling block in front of attackers. And it slows them down. So it doesn't mean that it's perfect. There are ways around everything, but it will dramatically reduce the likelihood that you become one of those victims.
Yep.
So, and then again, know where your news is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're getting your stuff from a recognized source, straight from the source. There is a huge amount of disinformation out there right now, and it's the amount of it is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on all kinds of topics. But what's happening is the attackers are taking advantage of the fact that more people are working from home. More people are engaged in social platforms because we're, you know, social distancing. Okay. Well, that means we, you know, humans have a natural desire to be together in some way, or to find, you know, some form of connection or way of connecting. And we've seen all these articles on Zoom bombing and other things. And we've talked about Zoom bombing in the past as basically, you know, when users don't follow good security practices, they are subject to, you know, bad guys being a nuisance. But Zoom, you know, to their credit, has done a lot to correct that. Mm-hmm. And to auto-enable certain security features to reduce the likelihood of that happening. And there are another number of other online video chat platforms out there that are either good or even really good security. I recently did a write-up for some government organizations on ways that they could allow telehealth under the relaxed HIPAA rules, and ways that they would be able to transition from that back to normal later on. And that's a pretty chewy topic, because it's a very, very delicate balance. You want to make sure you're honoring privacy and security best practices.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that even though the HIPAA rules have been relaxed, you're not just throwing them to the wind, because the Department of Health and Human Services won't allow that either. So even in these times, I would say actually because of these times, the need to be cautious and the need to be more security aware is higher than it ever was.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as we kind of have reached our time, any last thoughts?
Well, like I said, make sure your passwords and your personal email account are protected, like they are the keys to your kingdom.
Yeah.
Because quite literally, they are.
Yeah. And again, if you have questions on how to do something or just want, you know, to learn more about cybersecurity, you can use that ISO@APU.edu email address. If you get really interesting spam,
we would love to see it.
I've been dropping some links in the chat as we've gone through, but there's also, we have a support article at support.apu.edu with screenshots of some of the more popular recent spam emails we've been getting and phishing emails. So you can check that out as well.
And IMT is sending out a weekly news update right now. Mm-hmm. And in that, we are including some of the things that we're seeing. Some of the scams. So if you've been getting our emails and you've been reading our emails with the scam alerts, those are real things that we found in the wild.
Yes.
And we're putting them out there for y'all to be aware of, to maybe you've seen it before. If you haven't, maybe now you'll recognize it if you do wind up seeing it. So our goal there is to make sure you see it from us before you see it in your inbox.
Yes. And one last call for any questions. We got a thank you.
Oh, great.
In fact, I think if I figure out, I can show. Thank you from Carrie.
Most welcome, Carrie. Our pleasure.
So with that, I guess, again, if you guys have questions after the fact, ISO@APU.edu. Next month, who knows what topic we may have. It may be the universal plug and play, maybe some more about MFA how-tos. I think that would be a fun one for, you know, just the, how you do it.
Yeah. We can certainly walk through that.
Yeah. So with that, I say goodbye. Thank you.
All right. Sharon. We'll see you.